as the war in Syria continues, we take a look at a special brand of journalist, the War Reporter.
War reporters shine a light on the atrocities of war, bring them into the consciousness of people around the world, and it's a task that's become increasingly difficult in the Syrian civil war.
Last year, Marie Colvin, known as the greatest war reporter of her generation, was killed in a rocket attack while reporting in Syria. Her colleague, Paul Conroy, was with her when she died and was also injured in that attack.
After the attack, Paul returned to London to recount the work of Marie Colvin in his new book, Under the Wire, Marie Colvin's Final Assignment. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks very much for having us on. It's a pleasure.
So how did you first meet Marie Colvin?
That was just before the last Iraq war. We were both in Syria, in the northeast of Syria, trying to get into Iraq before the invasion began. And there was a group of about 20, 30 journalists all trapped, really. We couldn't get permission to cross into Iraq. And I decided to build a boat out of lorry inner tubes and paddle across. Unfortunately, I got caught and captured. And for a few days, the Syrian state police held me. But my first meeting with her was I was sat on my own having a drink after my adventures, and Marie just came in. She said, "Who and where is the boatman?" And I rather meekly put up my hand. And she came across, stuck her hand out and said, "Boatman, pleased to meet you. I'm Marie Colvin." And that was it, really. Sat down, had a drink, and she was just fascinated by the concept. It was so in her character to build a boat and try and get in that we gelled, really, over that couple of drinks that night in the bar in the desert in Syria.
And before we get into your coverage of the war in Syria with Marie, I wonder, reading the stories and the risks you go through and parting from your family, your child, what motivates someone like you and Marie to go in these dangerous situations and tell the stories there?
I mean, there's a storyteller in everybody who goes out and does this job. And war is on many levels. There are people who are experts at the geopolitical aspect of it, the politics. But the part that really touched both Marie and I was the lower level, was the people who were at the receiving end of all these bombs and bullets that that are fired. And to get to that story, you really do have to go to where them shells and rockets are landing, to give them people a voice. That is what humanizes it, and that was always our endeavor, was to get to the civilians, the children, the women who had no voice, but they were just trapped. And you know, hopefully by getting them stories out, present them to the world, you know, feel that you have actually made a difference. I think, you know, it's within every war correspondent that they would like to make that difference.
When you and Marie were planning to go into Syria, I think the phrase that was used was, "We're going in without papers." How do you get into a country, a war zone like Syria, without a legal border crossing?
Yeah, well, that was the option we made, and the choice we made. We could get a visa from Damascus, possibly, maybe, and be, you know, stuck with their chaperones. We decided that's not what we wanted. If we were to get the truth and get them stories, we're after that. We hired kind of gun runners and Free Syrian Army people who actually wouldn't take a penny. So at midnight, 1 o'clock, we kind of tiptoed through a minefield. We're taken through deserted villages, put on motorbikes. And all of this was within 50, 100 meters of Syrian army patrols. We could actually, you know, hear them patrols. We could hear them chattering and talking. And we were just led through smuggling routes, really, till we got into Syria, where they got us away from the border as quickly as possible.
You ended up in the city of Homs, in the siege of Homs, and Marie Colvin described this, and she's covered a lot of war zones, described it, I gather, as the worst conflict she had ever experienced. Why? What did you see there that made this such a particularly bad war zone to be in?
I think to understand what was happening in Homs, Homs is a very big city, but the actual neighborhood, Baba Amra, that was being shelled, was a very small neighborhood. You know, it was two and a half kilometers long, a kilometer wide, and that was surrounded by the 4th Division of the Syrian Army, which is a very professional army. It wasn't a bunch of rebels. And what they were doing, they were just systematically going from one end of the neighborhood on a daily basis, 18 hours a day, and just systematically shelling. They get to the other end and sweep back again. There were no underground shelters, no basements. I think there were two basements in all of Baba Amra. But what they were firing in was a continual salvos of rockets, heavy 155 artillery shells, and it was a slaughterhouse. There was literally no hiding from what was happening. Whereas we'd both covered Misrata in Libya, which was a city, so you could kind of get from neighborhood to neighborhood when the shelling started. But in Baba Amra, there was none of that. They were trapped within this small zone. And we got there at day 18, I think, of this incredible, incredible bombardment. We would often count 30, 40, 50 shells per minute landing in our neighborhood. And we both just looked at each other when we got there and agreed, I've never seen anything like this. And Marie was of the same opinion.
So in the rocket attack that injured you and killed Marie, you were briefly separated from her, and then you went out to see what happened to Marie. Talk us through the moment.
Yeah, it was 7:30 in the morning, 7:30. We were getting up early to go to the field hospital, and I noticed two shells land about 100 meters either side of the building, two rockets, I'm sorry. 30 seconds later, another two rockets landed, maybe 50 meters, which blew in all the windows. And I realized I was an ex-artillery gunner for 6 years in the British Army, and I recognized the fire pattern. They were walking the shells in closer to the building. And at that point, I realized the first rocket destroyed the room that Marie and I had both been sleeping in, and that was taken off the building. I ran down to grab a camera bag that was in the room, and luckily I found it. As I ran down the corridor, another rocket came through the wall as I ran past and removed another portion of the house. It was general chaos by then. It was covered in, you know, thick black chemical smoke and concrete. Another shell then hit the roof, which brought the ceiling down in on us. And I thought at that point that it was over. And just as I bent down to pick my camera up, there was an almighty explosion. I just felt like a piece of masonry had hit my leg. So I put my hand down, and at that point, my hand just went straight through my leg and came out the other side. I got a tourniquet on immediately. And then I went looking for Marie, thinking, you know, she'll maybe outside, whatever. Took about two paces and just fell in the rubble. My leg, you know, was so badly damaged, it didn't support me. And sadly, I fell next to Marie and Remy Oschlich, the French photographer. I checked Marie for signs of life. There were none. And Remy was quite obviously dead. And so I just had to lay in the rubble with Marie then for about 15 minutes because they started shelling again, you know, trapping me outside this time. So it was about 15 minutes I had to lay next to Marie and just kind of hoped I survived the second volley that was coming in.
You ultimately survived and were able to tell us Marie's story. What would she want her legacy to be? What would she want people to look at her life and say and learn?
I really think a legacy, I mean, it's to keep on doing what we've done, what we've been doing and what Marie did. There's been a bit of a backlash since Marie died. You know, the general press and the newspapers certainly are very wary about putting people into these situations now. And I think, you know, the thing she would want most is for it not to stop happening. You know, we must keep sending people in and getting them stories out. That I think she would be mortified at the situation at the moment, whereas nobody's allowing anybody to go in. for security reasons. That would be the last thing she wants. You know, I know that, you know, by her dying, it's caused a fuss.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for joining us to tell her story. That was Paul Conroy, former soldier with the Royal Artillery. His new book is Under the Wire, Marie Colvin's Final Assignment.